MFO Medford. Unlike milk, long distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 14th of April, 2021. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Trying to figure out what I was going to play this week. I was looking back through some of my old playlists. Found this one from the 11th of April, 2018, when I started the show. I played The Shadow and The Six Shooter, so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to relive one of my playlists. And the reason I'm choosing this one, The Society of the Living Dead, is because I did it in two acts there in 2018. I split the show in half to make room for other things. So I will play it in its entirety, The Shadow, The Society of the Living Dead, with an original air date of the 23rd of January, 1938. Thanks.
Lou Cole presents The Shadow, the mystery man who strikes terror into the very hearts of shopsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Today, The Society of the Living Dead. In just a moment, The Shadow's exciting adventure will begin.
Hello. David Classic, City Desk.
Yes, go ahead, Turner.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith are being held in Holly Military Prison as spies. The Smiths are believed not to be American citizens.
What?
Yes. The Prime Minister was handed a note by American Ambassador this morning.
Yes, go ahead.
American State Department reported investigating circumstance under which the Smith passports were issued.
Good work, Turner. Keep feeding it.
Yes, sir?
Hold the presses for a new front page story. London correspondent is on the wire. This phony passport racket is being uncovered.
New York, New York. More news on the Smith case. Mr. and Mrs. Smith are not citizens. A fake passport and identification ring is suspected. The name Schwartz was taken from tombstones to secure passports. More startling disclosures are promised by federal agents and local authorities who suspect widespread
plots.
All right, Margot. Well, this fake passport and identification racket interests me.
The Scotland Yard in England, the State Department in Washington, the whole New York police force working on that fake passport racket. Do you have to get mixed up in it?
You see, Margot, it ties up with a case that interests me.
You mean the suicide of your broker, Henry Adams?
Yes.
But Lamont, what possible connection could there be? I don't see it.
Well, I didn't see any connection either until today, although Adams never struck me as being the type of man who would commit suicide.
His body was found 2 weeks ago, and they buried him right afterwards in the family vault in Kingsland Cemetery. Seems to me that's what you might call a closed case.
No, I don't agree, Margot. I noticed in one of the gossip columns the other day a remark that interested me very much.
What is that?
An item that said that Irene Adams, the orphan daughter of Henry Adams, was being courted by Ray Kelvin.
Oh, Ray Kelvin was Henry Adams' partner, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. But what interested me even more was another item which said that Ray Kelvin was very friendly with a man named Berger, who, according to all reports, is a very questionable character.
I don't see the connection, Lamont.
But much of the evidence points to Berger being mixed up in this business.
Oh! That fake passport and identification ring that we just heard about on the radio.
Yes. Margot, I want you to call on Adams's orphan daughter. Her name is Irene. Pose as a reporter. Mm-hmm. Ask her about the rumors of her coming marriage with Kelvin and find out if she actually saw the face of her father at any time after his death.
All right, Lamont. Where will you be when I get back?
I'll phone you at my office.
Are you going to visit Berger as Lamont Cranston?
No, Margot. I rather think Berger will be more impressed if I visit him as a shadow.
I'm so sorry, Miss Adams. I know it's hard to talk to a stranger about such personal things so soon after your father's tragic death.
Yes. Yes. It's true that my father didn't want me to marry Mr. Kelvin. It seems so unfair. Ray Kelvin was his own partner in business.
But you are going to marry Mr. Kelvin.
Yes. I wanted to wait. So soon after father's death. But Ray has to go away. To Europe. He may be gone for years. It'll be a quiet place.
Oh, I see. Mr. Kelvin's leaving the country. But isn't he indicted on a stock swindling charge?
Yes. Oh, but he says he'll soon have proof that he didn't have anything to do with it.
Miss Adams, don't you realize that Mr. Kelvin can only clear himself by proving that your own father was the swindler?
No, no. Ray wouldn't do that.
Did you ever see your father after they found his body in the river?
No. No. Mr. Kelvin said I shouldn't. He said it would only upset me.
Do you believe your father committed suicide, Miss Adams?
No. I can't bring myself to believe that of Dad.
What does Ray Kelvin think about your father's death?
Ray said it was suicide. The Dad was worried over what would happen when they tried him on that stock swindle charge.
But don't you see, Miss Adams, Kelvin, your fiancé, has been implying all along that your father is a swindler. That he's going to clear himself by pinning the guilt on your father.
No, no, I can't believe that.
That's why your father opposed your marriage to Kelvin.
No. Why are you saying these things? You have no right. Please go.
Yes, I am going, Miss Adams. I'm so sorry if I've hurt you, but I believe you're going to thank me for keeping you from marrying a treacherous thief. Perhaps even a murderer.
What do you mean? Who are you talking about?
Your dead father's partner. Your fiancé, Ray Kelvin.
All right, Kelvin. What's on your mind?
Now listen, Berger, I want action. I won't be safe till I get Adams to sign a confession taking full blame for that stock swindle.
Yeah. I see you got the confession all ready for Adams to sign.
Yes. Stated the day he was supposed to have jumped in the river.
Hmm. How are you going to account for not having produced the confession until now?
That's easy. I'll just tell the authorities that in going over his papers, I've just found it. The government will have to dismiss the charges against me when I produce this confession signed by Adams.
What are you going to do with Adams after he signs?
That's where you and your man in the morgue come in.
Hmm?
You've got the papers that were on the man who was buried in Adams' place. All you have to do is put those papers on Adams when we dump him in the river.
What? That's murder. I've never gone that far before.
And you've never been paid $10,000 before either. Now, come on, quit stalling. Get your hat and coat. We're going to finish this job now.
Oh, wait a minute, Kelvin, wait a minute. I'll give you back that money. Every cent of it. No, no, I'm afraid of this.
Berger, what was that? Somebody laughed here in this office.
Yes, Kelvin. It is the laughter that has echoed through the mind of many a killer during his last hours in the death house.
Who is that, Berger?
Kelvin. There's nobody here.
Yes, Mr. Berger. The shadow is here.
The shadow? Kelvin, did you hear that? The shadow. He knows. He's heard everything. You can't go through with it now.
Yes, Kelvin. I know everything.
Yes? Well, I've heard about you, Shadow. The man who has the power to make himself invisible. I know how you do it. Hypnotic suggestion. Hindu mesmerism. Oriental trickery. Well, you don't scare me.
Your murderous scheme is doomed to failure, Kelvin. Give it up before it is too late.
Yeah, listen to him, Kelvin. Adams is still alive. We haven't murdered him yet.
No, but we've kidnapped him and we'll burn for that if we're caught. Only we're not going to be caught, Shadow or no Shadow. Come on, Berger. You're coming with me.
No, no, don't make me go through with it, Kelvin.
Come on.
Don't.
I'll show you what I think of the shadow. Come on, or I'll drill you where you stand. And the shadow if he tries to stop me.
You've had your warning, Kelvin. Remember,
Come on, Berger, get going. And as for you, Shadow, here's a warning from me. If you follow us, I'll find a way to kill you. Remember that.
Lamont Cranston's office.
Hello, Margot Lane.
Lamont, I talked to Irene Adams. She never saw her father after he died.
Henry Adams isn't dead, Margot.
Oh, Lamont, are you sure? Where is he?
I don't know, but Berger and Kelvin are on their way to the place where they're holding him, and I'm following them.
Lamont, Kelvin is planning to marry Irene Adams and leave the country in a few days.
Much can happen in a few days, Margot, even in a few hours.
Lamont, let me meet you. Go with you. Maybe I can help.
You can help me most by standing by with a shortwave radio. Keep it tuned in on the band the Shadow always uses.
All right, Lamont. But now you've discovered that Mr. Adams is alive, why don't you let the police handle it?
As far as the police are concerned, Henry Adams is dead. Buried, a closed case.
I guess you're right, but what about Berger and Kelvin? Do they know the Shadow is on their trail?
Yes, and Kelvin has dared the Shadow to follow him.
Lamont, it may be a trap, a trick to get you someplace where all your powers won't save you, where you'll be helpless. Lamont, please don't go. Please.
Margot, I must follow Berger and Kelvin. If they lead me to Adams, I may need help. Stand by, Margot. Stand by until you hear from the Shadow.
Let's get this over with.
What's the matter with you, Berger? You're jumpy as a cat.
I know. It's the Shadow. I'm scared. If you had any sense, you'd be scared, too.
Oh, forget the Shadow.
Yeah? But suppose he's trailed us. Here. To Kingland Cemetery.
Now, listen to me, Berger. Your job is to make Adam sign that confession. The Shadow has developed superstitious fear in the underworld by means of his magician's tricks. He's dealing now with intelligent people who don't believe in hocus pocus. Why, there isn't one chance in 1,000 the Shadow's been able to follow us here.
What'll you do if he has? Huh? What can you do?
You leave the Shadow to me. I'll deal with him if he comes. It's the Adams grave vault just ahead, isn't it?
Yeah. It's that underground vault on the left.
You have the keys to the vault?
Yeah, right here.
Well, get the vault door open.
Yeah. Give me a hand with this door.
Ouch. Weighs a ton.
Be careful Adams doesn't get out. Where's your flashlight?
Right here. There's Adams. On the floor in the corner. What'd I tell you? I bet he's so weak he can't crawl. Much less run.
Berger, he looks like he's dead. If he is, the whole scheme's ruined. I warned you to be careful.
He ain't dead. I know a dead one when I see one. He's just sleeping, that's all.
Wake him up and we'll see if he's ready to listen to reason.
He'll listen. Come on, Adams. Come on. Wake up. Hey, snap out of it.
What? Who are you?
Never mind who I am. Come on.
Sit up. Are you going to take me out of this tomb? Are you?
Yeah, you're going to get out. All you have to do is sign your name to a piece of paper. Huh?
Water. Give me a drink. All I've had for days... the moisture on the stones. And nothing to eat. Nothing.
Here. I got something better than water. It's like this brandy will set you up.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. How did you find out they'd locked me up in this grave vault? I thought they were going to leave me here till I died. And then put me in that coffin there. In place of that corpse, it's supposed to be me.
Never mind about that now. You're going to have a chance to get out of this grave alive if you do as you're told.
Listen, Berger, quit wasting time. Here's the confession and a pen. Make him sign it.
Kelvin, you. I couldn't see you with a flashlight in my eyes. You, my own trusted partner. You're behind this. You've done this to me. You stole those securities. Framed me.
Sure I did. You're innocent. But if you want to get out of this family vault of yours, you'll take the blame. Sign this confession.
I won't. I'll never sign it.
Oh, yes, you will.
Cut it out. Put it out, Kelvin. You can't stand much of that in the shape he's in. Do you want to kill him?
I won't sign it. I won't. A confession from me would clear you, Kelvin. Put the blame on me. Leave you free to marry my daughter, Irene. You made her think I'd drown myself. I'm innocent of the swindling charge. You're the guilty one.
You'll sign that confession or I'll break every bone in your body.
Oh. I told you to go easy. Yeah. Adams is out cold.
Shut up and help me bring him around. There's a shadow on our trail. There's no time to lose.
Yeah, I know. And I give plenty to know where the shadow is right now.
What would you give, Berger?
Kelvin! He's here! The shadow's here in the mall with us!
Berger, turn off that flashlight. Quick!
Now you think we're on even terms. Don't you, Kelvin? You can't see me in the dark of the tomb. And you think I cannot see you?
Yes. Yes, that's right, Shadow.
Kelvin, where are you going?
Stay where you are, Berger. And you too, Shadow. I may not be able to see you, but if you come close enough to try to stop me closing the door of this hall, I'll fill you full of lead.
Kelvin, don't leave me
here. You're no use to me anymore, Berger. You can thank the Shadow for that.
You ain't going to leave me in here to die. You...
Double-cutting rat! All right, Berger, I'll do you one last favor. I won't leave you to die from thirst and hunger. You'll be luckier than Adams and the Shadow. Come on, Berger. Try to get out before I close this steel door.
No, give me a break, Kelvin. Adams, don't give me a chance. I have a gun on me, you know that.
Yes, Berger, I know that. Come on, I was just fooling.
Oh, give me that, Kelvin.
So, Kelvin... You shot Berger and added murder to your other crime.
You'll never get out of this vault to tell about it, Shadow. You've cheated me out of a chance to beat that swindle indictment. You've ruined my chance of getting Irene with her Adams money. Well, now you're going to have plenty of time to wish you'd never meddled in this. You'll have the pleasure of watching Adams die. He's almost dead now. And when he's gone, you'll have the company of three dead men. Three dead men waiting for you to join them. Goodbye, Shadow.
You can lock that steel door, Kelvin. But somehow the Shadow will still get out.
All right, Shadow. Let's see you try it.
Shadow. Shadow. Kelvin double-crossed me. I'm done for all right. What about you? Can you get out of this place like you said?
The police will be here in a few minutes.
You told them to come here, you mean?
No, but I'm going to. Right now. Margot Lane. Notify Commissioner Weston to pick up Ray Kelvin. Have him send a squad of men to Kingman Cemetery. Have them open the grave vault of Henry Adams. Adams is alive, but in a critical condition. Margot... Don't come into the cemetery yourself. Kelvin is at large. Notify Police Commissioner Weston at once.
So, Shadow, you're calling the cops.
Shadow, it's Kelvin. He's in that air vent at the top of the vault. He heard you calling the cops.
Yes, I heard you, Shadow. And if you think the police are going to get here in time to save you, you're mistaken.
Every minute you waste in gloating brings you nearer the electric chair, Kelvin.
Don't waste your sympathy on me, Shadow. I wonder what you'll look like when the cops find you with Berger and Adams. All of you drowned like rats in a trap. Because that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to drown like rats in a trap. Listen.
Lola! He's going to fill the vault full of water, Shadow.
Yes, right up to the top. And it won't take long. Too bad for you. I found a fire hose in the groundkeeper's shed. Now let the police come. They're welcome to anything they can get out of any of you when they get here. So long, Shadow. Let's see you get out of that spot.
Shadow. He's gone.
Water! Here's water! Water!
The shadow! The water's an inch deep on the floor already!
Yes, and it's rising every minute. Our only hope is that the police will get here in time.
Use that radio of yours. Tell them what's happened. Tell them to hurry!
Radio transmitter is wet, useless. Except the last appeal for help.
Help me, Shadow. Help me.
You deserve no help, Berger. You left Adams here to die.
Oh, Calvin made me do it. I never did anything like this before. I ran a fake passport and identification racket, that's all. I never killed anybody. I swear to Shadow. Water. It's getting deeper. Deeper.
Water. Water.
There's only one high place in this tomb. One high place. On top of the casket. The casket of the man you buried and made the world believe was Henry Adams.
Oh, lift me up there. I'll drown here on the floor. Irene.
Irene. No, Berger. No.
Help me.
I won't lift you up. Adams is too weak to stand. There's only room for one on top of that coffin. And if anyone is to have a few extra minutes of life, Adams will get it.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Put Adams on top of the coffin. His life is worth a dozen like yours.
Irene, forgive me. I was afraid you were going to marry Kelvin. I knew he was treacherous. A thief. Coward.
Shadow, in God's name, help me up. Help me on my feet. Lay me against the wall. I'll do that much for me.
Yes, Berger. I'll do that much for you. It's all I can do.
Thanks. Thanks, Shadow. Here I am, trying to save myself from drowning so that I can die of bullet wounds. Here I am, being lifted by a man whose hands I can feel on my arms, but I can't see. Maybe it isn't happening. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe this is death.
No, Berger, this is not death. This is real. You're still alive, and I am here, and Adams is here. The water is rising all around us. Up to our waist now.
What about you, Shadow? I've heard queer things about you that you couldn't be killed. Can't you get out of here, huh?
Even though I have the power of invisibility, I cannot walk through solid stone walls. There's no windows, no other opening but that door.
Try it. Try it just once. Maybe you didn't lock when Kelvin closed it, huh? Maybe. Oh, try something, Shadow. Try anything.
Yes, yes, Berger, there might be a chance. A faint chance. But there's only a chance. I'm going to try to break down the door. Useless, Berger.
You mean you can't even save yourself?
No, I can't even save myself. Help doesn't come soon as this vault fills to the roof. The shadow will die as quickly as you, Berger.
No, no. Not at...
quite as quick. I'm finished, Shadow. Thanks to Kelvin's bullets.
I won't drown.
No. And perhaps you were lucky after all, Berger.
Irene. Irene, help me. Help me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, Henry Adams. Listen. Help is coming. But it will be too late unless you help yourself. Kelvin. Kelvin is filling this tomb with water. It's up to the top of the coffin you're lying on. Listen to me, Henry Adams. You must get up. Hold on to me or you will drown.
I can't. My strength is gone.
You must. You must, for Irene's sake.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I am the Shadow. I came here to save you, but I'm afraid I failed.
Shadow?
A shadow.
It doesn't matter who or what I am.
Shadow. Shadow, are you still there? Still alive?
So, Kelvin, the fascination of murder has drawn you back to the scene of your crime.
I just wanted to make sure of you, Shadow.
In that case, you'd better wait a few minutes longer, Kelvin.
Who is that? Who is that talking? It sounds like Kelvin. Irene! Irene, don't do it! Don't marry Kelvin!
He'll marry me. With you and Berger and the Shadow out of the way, she'll never know, Adams. She'll never know.
Kelvin! Kelvin, do you hear that? You hear that, Kelvin? It's the police! Run for your life, Kelvin, or better still, fight them off! They're cheating you out of your triumph of death!
They're going to drown like rats. The police won't get me. They won't get you out of there in time. You'll drown! Drown like rats, you will!
Get that man! Stop him! Stop you or I'll shoot! Let him have it!
You win, Shadow.
I got him!
Okay, come on!
Come on, men! Get the door of that vault open and see what's going on here.
Good. Here are the keys I got from the watchman at the cemetery gate, Commissioner.
All right, get that door open.
Right!
Commissioner! There's water spurting out around the sides and bottom of the door.
Good heavens. The hall's been flooded.
Commissioner, there's a three flushing hose attached to the hydrant that's pouring water into that vault.
Shut it off, quick.
Okay.
Sergeant, open that door.
Yes, sir.
Look out, Sergeant.
Good heavens. The vault must have been filled with a roof.
Quick. Throw your flashlight on the floor.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner, there's a man lying on top of that passage.
Come on, that man isn't dead. He's trying to get up. Yeah. Come on, here. Give me a hand with him.
Right.
Come on. This must be Adams.
It is. Adams. Henry Adams. Commissioner Weston.
Shadow. It's the Shadow again.
Yes, Commissioner, it's the Shadow. You were just in time.
So I see. What's back of all this? Henry Adams committed suicide 2 weeks ago. He was buried in this vault. If this man is Adams, who's in that sealed casket?
Just one of the many unidentified men and women who find their way into the morgue, Commissioner. Foreign spies and secret agents pay big prices for passports issued in the names of those unidentified men and women.
Good heavens, Shadow.
But, Commissioner, the fake identification ring is smashed. And Berger, the leader, was killed. Commissioner, this is the end of the Society of the Living Dead.
You have just heard a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that FCC obligation. Prior to that, you heard The Shadow, The Society of the Living Dead, Original air date was the 23rd of January, 1938. I've been playing from my playlist from the 11th of April, 2018. I don't know why. Thought I'd go back through and see what I played, but I found that I only played half of this particular Shadow episode in order to put some music at the end of that particular show. I played it in its entirety this morning. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. So according to the 11th of April, 2018, I played episode 12 of my favorite radio drama, The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart. This one's titled A Pressing Engagement, with an original air date of the 6th of December, 1953. Thanks for listening.
James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
About the last place I expected to be that Tuesday was the town of Powder Creek. The Double G Ranch where I'd been working was clear on the other side of the territory, neither about 200 miles away. But when Sam Griffith, he's the owner of the Double G, when Sam got a chance to buy off Forrest Trent's herd, he sent me over to close the deal. So the next thing I knew, I was walking down the main street on my way to the bank where I was supposed to meet Trent. Gee whiz, it sure was a nice day. Kind of Indian summer-like. A lot warmer than it had a right to be in October. The sun had fooled the maple trees into thinking it was spring. A couple of them beside the Civil War cannon in the square were even starting to bud. The two fellas sitting underneath it playing checkers in their shirt sleeves, it looked like the sun had fooled them, too. Howdy.
Just a minute, mister. Just a minute till I make this move. There. That ought to hold you, Jonah.
Yeah.
Now, what was it you wanted, mister?
Oh, I didn't want anything. I just said howdy, that's all.
Oh, howdy. Well, speak to the man, Jonah. He spoke to us.
It's my move now. I'll do my talking afterward. Yeah. Howdy.
Ah, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
Well, so long.
Hold up there a minute, son.
Hmm?
See that gun of his, John?
Yep.
You ain't Britt Ponsett, the Six Shooter.
My name's Ponsett, yeah.
You hear that, Jonah? He's Britt Ponsett.
Yep.
And we was kind of wondering when you was going to show up, Mr. Ponsett. Been expecting you for the last month or so.
What's that?
Yeah, when you got to jump, you got to take it. That's the rule.
All right, Jonah. All right, I know the rule.
Well, we'll take it then, take it.
All right.
Yeah.
There. You satisfied?
You said something about expecting me.
Oh, sure. Ever since we heard the news, congratulations.
What?
He said congratulations. Now, let's get on with the game.
All right. You're moving.
Yeah, how in thunder should I know? All this chattering going on.
Well, I don't like to keep interrupting, but I wonder if you'd mind explaining just what you meant by...
Jonah's trying to think.
Yeah, I know, but what I...
I don't want him to claim I beat him because we kept him from concentrating.
No, of course not. No, I... Well, I knew that the Trent cattle would turn out to be good stock. The Double G was lucky to be buying them. But since they weren't going to belong to me, I couldn't see why congratulations were in order. Unless folks in Powder Creek had heard wrong, unless they thought I was outfitting a ranch of my own. And I started to explain things to the fellas playing checkers, but they shushed me again, good and loud this time.
So I gave up and went on town toward the bank. I was just passing by the newspaper office when I bumped into Quint Todd. He was editor of the Powder Creek Press, a weekly newspaper. Matter of fact, he was more than just an editor. Quint's pa had retired in the last 6 or 7 years, and he was putting out the paper practically single-handed. Good afternoon, Quint.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, it's you, Ponset. So you finally got here, huh?
Well, I'm here, if that's what you mean. I didn't realize folks were so anxious about me.
Some of us are anxious, maybe. Some of us ain't.
What, are you upset about something, Quint?
Why should I be upset?
Well, I don't know. Things are all right, aren't they? I mean, with the paper.
Paper's fine. I'll save you the next issue so you can see your name in print.
See, I sure can't think of any reason why you'd be writing about me.
It's customary, ain't it?
What?
It's customary to write about the groom.
The groom? The what?
I'm busy now, Ponset. I got a story to run down.
Oh, Quint, listen to me.
I hope you'll be real happy, both of you.
No, but Quint, hey, for Pete's sake, Quint! Well, he'd lost his senses. That's the only explanation of that. He'd Quint Todd had just plain lost his senses. That me being a groom, me? And who in the Sam Hill did he think I was going to marry? I hadn't even been keeping company. Not that I have anything against marriage, you understand. Like people say, it's an institution. A noble institution. Why, some of my best friends are married. And I suppose someday, not right away, of course, not very soon, but someday, maybe I'll... Well, I...
Hey, little bit. I was on my way to meet you.
Huh?
Hey, what's the matter? You look like you just fell off a bronc.
Oh, hello, Trent. I guess I was kind of preoccupied. I was thinking about something.
Well, I reckon we shouldn't expect you to have all your faculties in good working order. Not at a time like this, huh?
What?
Oh, sure was a surprise. Never thought I'd see the day when some woman would put a saddle on you.
What?
Well, we better get over to the bank. I told Mr. Fredericks we'd be there by 3 about. He's drawing up the papers.
Sure. Trent.
Yeah?
Now, about me getting married, the fact of the matter is,
Oh, Fred, you know I was just joshing with that saddle talk.
Oh, yeah. Well, to tell you the truth,
it's high time you did put down some roots.
Maybe so, Trent.
Just wait till you got a family of your own. Why, you'll be a different man.
Well, that's possible. That's possible, Trent. But just where did everybody get the notion that I was almost ready to...
Now, you didn't think you could keep it a secret, did you?
A secret?
You ought to know Minnie better than that.
Minnie?
Yeah, that's who told me. Well, of course, there'd been rumors going around for several weeks, but until I heard it from Minnie herself...
Oh, wait, hold on here. You mean Minnie Flint?
Well, who else would I mean? It's her niece you're marrying, ain't it? What are you acting so strange about?
Look, I just want to get this straight. Minnie Flint told you I was marrying her niece?
Well, she told everybody.
I see.
Well, now, Britt, I know how a man feels when he's getting ready to jump overboard. I felt the same way myself, sort of awkward and embarrassed.
Well, be that as
you
it
wish
may.
Folks you're... didn't know about it so they wouldn't poke fun the way they always do. But you can't blame Minnie for spreading the news.
Well, I sure do blame her.
Well, now, Britt, Minnie's been like a mother to Helen, raised her since she was a baby. Well, Helen ain't never had no folks of her own.
I know that.
Well, then, you shouldn't mind Minnie being proud. Why shouldn't she do a little bragging, huh? Well, of course. The women folks around here seem to think you're quite a catch.
Oh, now listen, Diane. Now, Trent, let me tell you something.
Here's the bank. I suppose you'll want to get this business done with pronto so you can get straight over to Minnie's place, huh, Rip?
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to get over to Minnie's.
Just a minute, I'm coming. Britt.
You mind if I come in, Minnie?
Why, well...
Excuse me. Thanks.
It's sure nice to see you, Britt. I didn't have any idea you were in Powder Creek. I didn't have any idea at all.
Uh-huh.
You're just passing through, ain't you? You're not staying.
Some folks seem to think I am. I at least long enough to get married.
Oh, you've heard.
Well, so is everybody else, far as I can tell. Your announcement of my engagement seems to have blanketed the whole town.
Now, Britt, I can explain.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Why don't you just sit down over there on the sofa? I've got some oatmeal cookies out in the kitchen. I just made them this morning.
Minnie?
Yes?
You just can forget about the cookies. I really don't have much of an appetite.
Oh. Well.
I'm waiting, Min.
Well, you see, Britt, I only did it for Helen. Now, she's a fine girl, and, well, I wanted to help her out.
Oh.
On account of Quint Todd. They've been going together for nearly 6 years now, but he just never seemed to get around to asking her to marry him.
Well, he must have his reasons. A man usually does.
Oh, it's because of his father. You see, Quint's been taking care of old man Todd ever since he retired, and it must cost money, him being so sickly all the time.
Uh-huh.
But Quint could have married her. Helen don't expect a lot of fancy clothes in a fine house. She's the practical type.
Just what has this got to do with me?
Well, I had an idea. I thought if maybe there was somebody else, if Quint believed Helen was interested in another man, well, maybe he'd come to his senses and take the bull by the horns and marry her himself.
You've been sort of using me as a decoy. Is that... the idea?
I knew you was working for the Double G. It didn't seem likely you'd be showing up in these parts. Not for the time being, anyhow. And afterward, well, after Quint and Helen tied the knot, then it wouldn't matter.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, man. Both you and Helen.
You don't think she knew about it?
She didn't?
Of course not. I didn't dare tell her. Why, she'd have never stood for it.
Well, then how on earth did you manage to convince her that I was interested?
I've got a sister living over in Black Mountain. That's not far from the Double G.
No, but what I mean is, how did you ever...
Well, I sent her some letters and asked her to post them for me. They was love letters, Brett. I sort of changed my handwriting and signed your name.
Minnie Flint.
I guess you might as well know the rest, too. When Helen answered them, when she wrote back to you, well, I kind of saw to it that her answers never got mailed.
Well, I just don't know what to say.
Oh, I never dreamed it'd go this far, Britt. I was sure Quint would start talking serious when he first found out that you and Helen were corresponding, but he didn't. And then, well, I thought maybe if your letters got a little more sincere, well, maybe that would make him jealous. I left him around where he couldn't help seeing them whenever he come calling.
You didn't actually propose in my name.
Oh, no.
Well.
Britt. Well, not in so many words, but reading between the lines, well, that's how Helen took it. She wrote you her answer 2 weeks ago. She wrote yes.
What?
Your letters were mighty convincing.
Well, then you better start figuring out some way of unconvincing her.
Well, I don't know. Maybe...
Look, men, now, Helen's got to know the truth. And if you won't do it, well, I'll just have to tell her all about it myself. Because...
I guess maybe he's... Why, Britt. Well, you're here already.
Hello, Helen.
Oh, my goodness. Sure is good to see you, Britt. You're looking fine.
I saw you, Helen. Saw you.
I wish I'd known you were coming. I wouldn't have been out doing the marketing.
No, it didn't matter. Didn't matter.
Oh, Britt, I just gotta tell you. Maybe I shouldn't say it right out like this, but... Well, ever since I was a little girl, I've looked up to you so. Oh, it just seemed to me you were the finest man that ever came through Powder Creek.
Now, Helen...
I never guessed that someday... Well, that you and I... Oh, Britt, I'm so happy about it. Excited and happy. I just hope you're as pleased as I am. Are you, Britt?
Sure, Helen. Sure.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. Every man and woman in the armed forces will tell you the only call that takes precedence over mess is mail call. And when a letter is more important to a hungry GI than food, you know it means something. And the truce in Korea is no reason why we should stop writing letters to our men and women in service, whether in U.S. camps or overseas. Mail from home is just as important now as it ever was. Oh, yes, and be sure to mail your soldier's Christmas packages this week. In that way, you'll be sure he'll receive them in time to make his Christmas away from home a little more cheerful. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
There just wasn't anything else to say. There just wasn't. I couldn't tell Helen that I'd never really thought about her in a marrying way. And besides Minnie, she caused all the trouble. It was her place to set things right. Min didn't open her mouth. No, she just stood there staring at us through her bifocals, real pleased with herself. Well, the next thing that happened was Helen invited me to supper. Oh, boy, I sure didn't want to accept. All I wanted to do was just get out of the house and get out of Powder Creek, too. But what I wanted to do and what I did were two different things. I went back to the hotel where I was stopping, changed my shirt, and I rode out to Minnie's again.
I guess Britt doesn't like my cooking at Minnie's. Hardly eating a thing.
Oh, it's not that, Helen. Everything is fine. I had a pretty big dinner at noon, and it kind of stayed with me.
More coffee, Britt.
No thanks, man.
You'll have to tell me your favorite food, Britt, so I'll know what to fix after.
I sort of like most everything.
Apple pie, I bet. Most men like apple pie. Why, whenever Quint and I went up...
Speaking of Quint, I ran into him today.
I'd just as soon not discuss him.
Always seemed to me to be an awful nice sort of a fella, Quint.
Please, Britt.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll just rid up the table. Oh, here. Here, let me help you.
No. I can manage. Besides, you two have lots of things to talk over.
Well, all right.
Real warm night for this time of year. Moon, too. A harvest moon.
Oh? I hadn't noticed.
We ain't taken down the porch swing yet, Britt.
Oh, that's all.
It might be kind of nice to sit outside for a spell.
Well, whatever you say, Helen. Whatever you say. You sure you're not too cold out here?
Oh, no. Uh-huh. No, I'm fine. Besides, if I do get chilly, you could sort of...
Helen.
Yes,
please. Helen, about us getting married, we may not be able to have the wedding right away.
Oh?
Well, you see, over at the Double G where I'm working, there's no place we could live.
Well, you wrote me you had a cabin all to yourself.
I did.
And... you said it would fix up real easy, that there'd be plenty of room for both of us.
Well, it would. It would have fixed up easy, Helen. But last week, there was a kind of a fire, and that cabin just burned right down to the ground.
Oh, I see.
There's nothing left of it now but just a few ashes. And that's one of the reasons I came over here to Powder Creek, to explain about us having to postpone the ceremony, you see.
Well, you don't have to stay at the Double G, do you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I signed up for all of next year. Don't have any choice, so maybe we ought to not be formally promised. I mean, if somebody else came along, I wouldn't blame you not for waiting.
Britt, there won't be anybody else.
Oh, you never know. You never know.
And a year isn't very long to wait. A year isn't long at all.
No, I guess not. But just in case...
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. We don't have to wait. We can be married right away before you go back to the Double G. Then afterward, I can stay on with Aunt Min. There'd be times when we could be together, when you come over to Powder Creek for a week or so, like now.
I never thought of that.
You don't seem very anxious, Britt. From the sound of your letters, I thought you wanted to get married.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Well, looks like somebody's riding up this way.
Why, it's Quint. Quint Todd.
Oh.
I'm going in the house, Britt. I don't want to talk to him.
Oh, now, I thought you and Quint used to be pretty good friends.
That's all we were, just friends. He didn't mean anything to me, not really.
Oh, well, you sure start running every time the name's mentioned.
I'm not running. Oh, all right, I'll stay.
Yeah, well, good evening, Quint.
Hello, Ponsett. Helen.
Good evening.
You left word at the press office you wanted to see me.
I left word?
No, he means me, Helen.
What?
Well, I figured he'd want to get the details on our plans. The paper comes out tomorrow, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yes, well, I just want to tell you you couldn't have come at a better time. You see, we just finished settling things. The ceremony's going to be this week. Haven't decided on a day yet. How's Friday, Helen?
Oh, well, yes. The sooner the better.
The sooner the better. Friday, then.
Church wedding.
Oh, of course. I want everybody to come. Everybody in town. You better say so in the paper. There won't be time to send out formal invitations. You're invited, too, of course, Quint.
I'll try and make it.
There won't be much of a honeymoon. I'm heading back for the Double G first part of next week. Helen's going to stay here with her aunt.
She's going to stay in Powder Creek?
For the time being, anyway.
Don't sound like much of a marriage to me.
Well, it's not the way we'd prefer it, but of course, you know, you can't always fix things up perfect. You have to take the bitter with the sweet, you know.
Yeah, well, when I get married, I'll have a house for my wife and some money in the bank.
There are more important things than houses and money.
You never said so before.
I never said I wanted a house of my own, did I?
Well, no. But I couldn't ask you to move in with me and Pa, the way he's ailing all the time.
That was just an excuse. If you loved me, you'd have asked.
I did love you. You must have known I did.
How was I to know?
There's no point in hashing it over now. Good night.
Now, hold on, Quint. Now, just a minute. Now, I want to get this thing straight now. I could hardly believe my ears just now. You said you were in love with Helen?
I still am, if you want to know it.
Quint.
Well, I sure don't like the sound of this. Helen's engaged to me.
How I feel about her doesn't matter. It's how she feels that counts.
Yeah, but if you're in love with her, now how do I know she's not in love with you?
It's pretty plain that she isn't.
I don't know. You know, being in love usually works both ways, you know. Don't know about this. Well, Helen, what about this now?
Britt, you know I don't care anything about him one way or the other.
Now, is that the truth? You talking the truth now? We're not starting our marriage on a lie now, are we?
Well, maybe I was fond of Quint once, but that was before... Well...
You're all over it now. All over it. Are you sure?
I'm promised to you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hold you to that promise. As a matter of fact, I'd insist you break it if I thought there was somebody else.
Well, that's mighty generous of you, Britt. But you don't need to worry.
Of course, if our marriage didn't go through, I'd be kind of upset. Hurt. Maybe.
Oh, I wouldn't ever hurt you, Britt. Not for anything.
Oh, I'd get over it. I'd get over it. A man always does. At least, I always have before.
Before?
Oh, sure. Lots of times. Oh, yeah.
But you wrote me that I was the only girl you ever...
Oh, well, I... To tell you the truth, what I meant was that you were the only girl I'd ever been engaged to, you see. That's what I meant.
Looks to me like the choice is up to you, Helen.
Yes, I think that's the way I see it, too.
If you're smart, you'll choose Ponsett. I sure haven't got anything to offer you. Just a small-town newspaper that wouldn't even give us a decent living.
Oh, now, stop talking yourself down, Quint. Now, the Powder Creek Press, one of the finest weeklies in this part of the country. Now, you know that.
Well, Britt, he's a six-shooter. Why, he's practically famous.
All I am is a cowpoke. I'm just an old cowpoke. I don't even know whether I'm going to have a job from year to year.
Well, just the same.
Just an old cowpoke.
Any girl in the territory would be pleased.
Oh, be quiet, both of you. I think neither one of you wants me. I know who you are and what you are, and I know which one I'm Well, which one? Britt.
Uh-huh. You're getting a fine man, Helen.
Quint, I told you to be quiet. Britt, I'm sorry. I hope you won't think that I'm fickle or don't know my own mind. But, well, you are the six shooter. You don't really need a wife.
Helen, you don't mean you're going to take me.
And Quint, well, he needs somebody to look after him. I've seen that house of his. Well, I'll bet the place hasn't had a good spring house cleaning for the last 4 years. As for Quint's father, he's a nice old man. And with a woman to look after him, maybe he won't be so sickly all the time.
Well, you still haven't said that you love Quint.
What? I guess I've been in love with him ever since. You won't think too badly of me, Quint.
No, it's kind of a blow, I guess. But like I said, it'll take a little while to get over it, and I'll manage somehow. I'll manage. Well, I left Quint and Helen standing out there on the porch. I went inside to get my hat. Minnie was hovering by the front window. When she saw me, she shut it real quick. Tried to appear innocent. Well, it looks like your scheme finally worked out, man.
My scheme? Seems to me it was more yours than mine.
So what are you talking about?
You know very well that you're asking Quint over here tonight was what brought things to a head.
Well, I just wanted to make certain he had all the facts about our wedding, that's all. So the story in the paper would be accurate.
Oh,
that's
sure, Fletcher, I know. Poor Quint.
What?
Well, I guess he deserves it after making her wait all this time.
Well, what do you mean, Minnie?
Well, I was just thinking. He's going to have to toe the line real close, and he's not going to win many family arguments, neither.
Well, I don't see why not.
Well, I'll tell you why not. Every time Helen has trouble with him, all she'll say is, "Don't forget, I could have married the six-shooter, but I gave him up for you." And Quint will just have to sit there and take it, no matter how often she says it.
Oh, now, man. Well, Quint and Helen were married the following Sunday. I stayed over for the wedding. Matter of fact, I was best man. Both of them insisted on that. But I didn't enjoy the ceremony very much. I kept thinking that, you know, that it could have been me standing there saying the I do's. And, gee whiz, I'm sure it was a close call.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Barbara Eiler, Virginia Gregg, Bill Johnstone, Sam Edwards, and Herb Biker. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlon, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
We heard episode 12 of The Six Shooter, titled A Pressing Engagement. Original air date was the 6th of December, 1953. My name is Arthur, and this has been The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.